Well, the legislature has actually put into the statute a strike zone, if you will, that says that, in essence, that Maryland is in, provided there is no more than a $1.50 impact on residential customer bills. That's going to be a tough deal to put together, quite frankly. But it does give us the ability and puts the wind in our sails to go out and partner with other states to put together what will have to be a multi-layered deal in order to accomplish this. And that deal could involve working with the President and the Department of Defense that does have the ability to enter into long-term power purchase agreements for renewable energy that can span a 30 or 40-year period of time.
There's so, a partnership probably in Delaware. I know they tried this in Delaware. The rate, the impact on rate payers wasn't as great as they expected it to be, or actually it was higher than they expected it to be.
Well, any state that does it alone, I mean, it's economies of scale, right? I mean, the bigger the project, and the more partners involved, the better the price. So I know that's why I don't believe any one state can do this by itself. So this will probably involve our partnering with Delaware. I met yesterday with Jack Markell. In fact, more accurately, we had time to talk about this yesterday as we waited in anticipation of the President's remarks. Delaware remains interested in this, excited about this, and Governor Markell was very interested in the forward progress that we appear to be on the verge of making.
Governor, how long will it be before the first project starts after you sign the bill?
Oh, I don't know. You know, there's a saying from the Quran, everything is possible in God's time, but nothing is for sure. So we have to, I don't have a crystal ball to tell you that. I do know this. If we do nothing, large chunks of Maryland will be underwater in the foreseeable future. There will be drought and there will be famine. There will be human suffering, pain, and displacement. So we have to, that's the one thing that we really do know for sure, like 98.99% of all scientists agree with that. So we'll get this done as quickly as we possibly can. We'll work, brothers, as if it all depends on us, and pray as if it all depends on God, right? Hopefully, I think this is a great opportunity to establish a much better balance with the other living systems of this earth upon which our lives depend. Who can answer the cubic footage question? Abby, come on up. Answer the cubic footage question.
Good morning. I'm Abby Hopper. I work for the governor.
You have a bigger title than that.
I do. I'm the governor's energy advisor and the acting director of the Maryland Energy Administration. Yes, so the $1.50 per month for the average residential ratepayer is based on 1,000 kilowatt hours a month. If you use more energy, it's not really the size of your home, but it's the amount of your energy use. If you install energy efficiency measures and bring your energy use down, you'll bring that rate down. But we have pegged it to 1,000 kilowatt hours a month.
Now, is this unlimited? Will we pay the surcharge ad infinitum, or do we ever get to a point where we don't have to pay for it?
The way the legislation is drafted, the Public Service Commission could approve an order for up to 20 years. We think as conventional energy prices continue to rise, projections have them rising over the next two decades, that at some point the offshore wind energy will actually cost less than conventional energy.
So part of this involves estimating the price points, Pat, down the road, at, you know, what the commodity price for natural gas or coal or other things will be in conjunction with the wind. What we know is that the price of the wind will not go up. It's the upfront capital investment that you have to make for these mechanisms to capture that energy, and then paying that off. I mean, it's like a mortgage on your home. I mean, except in this case, the time frame within which you pay that off depends on the other prices global of the commodities that create currently our electricity. No, that, correct. Nothing goes up until the windmills go up, and that will be even optimistically, a matter of many years. But nothing happens until the windmills go up. And when they do go up, no doubt there'll be other, will hopefully be other partners involved in this. Yes? Yeah, I've had a couple of personal conversations with Secretary Mabus, the Secretary of the Navy, and the Navy's doing a lot of exciting things on renewable energy, and I think this is one area where, in this second term, given the President's charge and his mission, I think that we certainly look to the Navy to be a big partner in this. And all of the defense assets, really. The Department of Defense... and certainly NSA has a big interest in making sure that our grid does not go down and that we don't suffer from rolling brownouts in this area.
How serious is the threat of hurricanes like Sandy? I'm told that would have just wiped.
Yeah, that's a good question. And one of our engineers was answering. Who was answering the tethering question? Was it tethering or feathering? Who wants to answer that? No, she's here. Come on down. And introduce yourself. The question was the same question that some naive person asked in the back. wasn't naive. It was a good question.
It was a very good question. Sally McNeil and I work for FUGRA. We're an international geotechnical engineering firm. We've worked on more than 80% of the offshore wind projects in Europe. North Sea gets, and Baltic Sea gets some pretty bad storms. Different from hurricanes in that they can be quite long-lasting, more like our nor'easters. A nor'easter is going to be a bigger problem than a hurricane, actually. Machines will be tethered or feathered. It's a mechanical shutdown prior to a storm like that hitting them, and then they will be repowered up after. I believe Bob Mitchell addressed the situation of the turbines in Atlantic City, which were powered down prior to Sandy hitting. They took the direct brunt of the storm and all powered back up afterwards. So it will require a lot of study and design, but it should be manageable.
Bob, anything to add to that? No? Come on up, Bob. Come near the microphone. Thank you.
Bob Mitchell with the Atlantic Wind Connection. We're the company that has proposed building the backbone transmission line all the way from northern New Jersey down to southern Virginia, several stages over many years. But the experience in New Jersey was that Sally just said that the storm hit Atlantic City very hard, as we all know. They have five wind turbines just off the beach. And so as when the wind came down to 45 miles an hour, they started those windmills up again. Three of the five worked immediately. Two of them had to have water drained out of the nacelle. They did that in a couple of hours, and they were working again. So it's a testament to the remarkable strength of these machines that are going to be put out into the ocean. EDF is here today that will be building and installing machines, hopefully. And they're gigantic. I mean, I'm sure one of them could elaborate on the size, but they're very substantial and will withstand hurricane strength.
Great. And thanks. A good habitat for fish, which means the sports fishermen love them.
Exactly.